All right, again, if you're just tuning in or waking up, Donovan Raiola is back. He'll be retained on the Matt Rhule staff, the only guy that is holdover from the Scott Frost staff. So do what you will with that. We spent a good 2.5 hours discussing it from every different angle. So we welcome in. We are Twitter followers. I am engaged by his conversations. Former major league pitcher. Now he's one of us as a media member, longtime media member out in Denver. Mark Knutson joins us. Mark, thanks for your time. Welcome to 1620 The Zone.
Well, thanks, Gary. Robbie, it's good to be here.
Hey, before we talk football, because we'll talk Nebraska football and then, of course, everything that's going on with Deion, but as in your wheelhouse in baseball, why, in the news that broke this morning about Aaron Judge, why do you think he stayed in New York?
Well, you don't want to be cynical and say it's just money, although that's obviously a huge factor. He had a great year. I mean, grass isn't always greener, right? We see the Giants here a lot in Denver. It's a good organization. It's a very analytic-driven organization. I'm sure he was tempted. He's a Fresno State guy. I'm sure he was tempted to go back to that area. But it's not necessarily a power hitter's ballpark, a right-handed power hitter's ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
He probably just looked at all the factors and said, listen, being a Yankee is pretty unique and pretty awesome for a lot of guys. So assuming the money was really close, or maybe even better in New York, it probably just too much to turn down those bright lights.
Yeah, Mark, I was going to ask that about the money. Do you think there was a comparable offer out there? Because a lot of times with these high-profile free agents, somebody just like goes above and beyond to make sure they lock it down, even if that's not necessarily where the guy wants to be. Do you think there was a comparable offer on the table for Judge?
Well, everything we read, I do a podcast on the Rockies, and we had our guy Thomas Harding from MLB.com was there. We talked about it a little bit, and he said every indication of the Giants' offer was right there. It was up there. In that stratosphere, but that doesn't mean that the Yankees at the last minute, who can do this, obviously, didn't go above and beyond, as you said. I mean, they could have easily said, well, I said, okay, here's a couple extra $1 million or whatever you need to make sure you stay here, because they have those means and a lot of other clubs don't.
Hey, before we shift into some football, as a pitcher yourself, how do you think the pitch clock is going to go over this year?
I think it's stupid, and I'll be honest with you, I spent a lot of time at Coors Field with the guys who are going to it's been going on. They've had a pitch clock.
Mm-hmm.
They're just now going to make it a bigger deal. And one of the guys who runs at Coors Field is a longtime friend of mine. And he was actually talking about quitting after last year because he thought it was such a dumb idea.
Oh, wow.
It's not, I guess they tried it last year in a AAA game that they televised MLB Network, and they thought that, this is going to work. I tend to think it's going to be like a lot of other things that we hear about that, initially, it's a big deal for the first half of the season and just kind of fades into the background again. We did that when I was playing, it was the balk rule. They overdid the balk thing for a while, and then that just kind of dropped off. The high strike zone kind of dropped off. I don't think it's something that's going to be anywhere near as big a deal as banning the shift. Banning the shift is going to be awesome for a lot of left-handed hitters.
Mark Knutson joining us here on 1620 The Zone. You can follow Mark on Twitter at MarkKnutson41. You followed Nebraska football for a long time.
I was a little kid, yeah.
Yeah. Your reaction to the hiring of Matt Rhule?
Well, I was caught up in it like a lot of people were. The emotional thing of Mickey Joseph was doing such a great job. You heard all the right things out of his mouth about returning to a tough guy mentality, offensive line, win at the line of scrimmage kind of thing. And it's obviously sad what's gone on there, and you wish Mickey the best, and his family. But Matt Rhule's a pro. Matt Rhule's an accomplished coach. He's everything you really want in a program. He's, again, said all the right things that I've read to this point. I like the coach that's going to go in-state and keep the in-state guys at home and make those guys a priority, because I think in-state kids bring a passion into every game to represent the name on the front of the jersey, not just the name on the back. But I think those kids mean a lot. I'm a Colorado State graduate, and Jay Norvell is the coach at Colorado State now, and he's not doing a real fine job of in-state recruiting. And I mean, when you're in a program like that, you need that little extra passion in the fourth quarter that I'm representing this school, and this is my school, and not just somebody who's, well, I'm just here because they gave me the best offer or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I like everything I've seen from Matt Rhule so far, and I'm eager to see him play.
Mark, a little bit closer to your neck of the woods now, also a very high-profile coaching hire, Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, as he likes to go by, now right in your backyard. I guess a couple of questions here for you. What has been, I know nationally there's been a ton of hype and excitement about around his hiring. What has the reaction been like locally, and what are your thoughts on Deion as the head coach at Colorado?
Well, firstly, a little background. This fan base here, this football fan base here, is starving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had the Super Bowl in 2015 when Peyton Manning was here, and then all of a sudden the Broncos fell off the map. This is the sixth consecutive losing season, and you know, when Russell Wilson was traded here, the hype was off the charts. You know, we got a quarterback, we're going to the Super Bowl, blah blah blah. So football fans here have a tendency to go overboard on stuff like this, and they've gone way overboard, in my opinion, on CU. I've been trying to be a little bit of a voice of reason, but again, I played against Deion when he played baseball, and you know, I didn't like his act then. None of us did. I don't like his act now. I think he's one of those guys who's a self-promoter. He's super, super arrogant. Who films their first meeting with their team when he's telling his players to pack their bags and get out? I mean, I'm fearful, and I'm not a CU fan playing a stretch, obviously, but I'm fearful that he's going to come in here and just, well, it's just, let me put it this way, it's not going to go well here, mm-hmm. because you guys have been to Boulder. Boulder is not a place where the hip-hop culture is going to thrive, and Deion brings that in droves, right? I mean, it's all about Deion. Guys are committing to come play for him because they're not committing to the school. The opposite of Matt Rhule. He's literally the opposite of Matt Rhule in everything you read. And I don't think he's going to, first of all, I don't think he's going to, it's not going to be an academic fit. They say they're going to alter the transfer rules to let more transfers in, but they still have to go to class. They still have to do the work. And the CU administration, the CU faculty, is notoriously difficult for athletes. Colorado kind of has this uppity Stanford of the Midwest attitude mm-hmm. about their academics. And it's harmed them in their athletics because of that. So there's so many oil and water mixes here that just aren't going to work very well. And, you know, add that to the fact that if he does have any success, I mean, Mel Tucker went 5-7 in the 1 year he was here, and he was gone mm-hmm. the next year. And as soon as another offer comes, especially something in a warmer climate, someplace Deion's more familiar with, he and his entourage will be gone. And CU needed this. I mean, when you guys were here, 2019, I mean, I was there. I mean, it was awesome to see a stadium that was half red. And they see that, and they need that kind of boost. And they are coming off a 1-11 season. Now, to be fair, they were 1-11. They were bad. But they played 9 bowl teams, including 3 teams that are in the New Year's 6. I mean, they didn't have a cupcake on their schedule this year, unless you call Cal a cupcake, and mm-hmm. that doesn't really fit. I mean, they played TCU. They start next year at TCU. You know, Air Force was their non-league game, and Air Force, I was at that game in Colorado Springs. Air Force killed them. So they weren't terrible. They weren't 1-11 terrible talent-wise. They were just incredibly young. They got drilled by the portal the year before. They lost their best defensive back to Oregon, their best receiver to Southern Cal, their best their safety was playing. Mark Perry plays for TCU. They just got killed by the portal. They had 23 upperclassmen. So it weren't that terrible. Now he's tearing this down. He's going to try to rebuild it. And I just see a whole bunch of problems ahead.
What do you think, Colorado, Mark? What do you think Colorado wants football to be in Boulder? Back to the 90s?
College football is not as big of a deal here as I wish it was. Mm-hmm. CSU, CU, Air Force, they have to struggle to get fans. The Broncos usurp every single bit of attention here. I think they would like to get back to the late 80s, early 90s, where they were, you know, they had the Nebraska rivalry. They had they could at least compete with the Broncos for attention. I think that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
I think CU fans are front runners and want a winner. That's all. They'll come to Folsom Field and they'll stay past the first half if the team's winning. But if they don't, it just, you know, they fall into the vat of secondary sports teams in this area. So they want everything. I mean, they want to win. They want to be proud of their school, and they want all those things. And we just have so many transplants out here who aren't mm-hmm. affiliated to the school, who aren't alumni. There's way more Colorado State alumni in Denver than there are Colorado alumni. Mm-hmm. Most Colorado alumni are out-of-state people. So it's a tough ticket for them. And they need somebody, in my opinion, like Gary Barnett, to bring this thing back and make it viable for the long term. And they didn't get that guy.
Was there a guy out there or a name that you liked that you think would have been a good fit for the head coaching hire there?
I think the guy, Blake Anderson at Utah State, who was at Arkansas State prior to that, he took over a Utah State team that was miserable during the COVID season. They forfeited their last game to Colorado State. They were just awful. And then in 2021, they win the Mountain West. I think that's the kind of guy you need. somebody who can do a little or do a lot with a little. And, you know, they were talking about Ryan Walters at DC at Illinois. You know, we know the Illini defense is really good. He's a Colorado graduate. They were talking about him. They talked about Bronco Mendenhall, but my people tell me the interview didn't go very well. There was Gary Patterson talk. But again, Gary Patterson left TCU because of NIL, because he didn't think he could compete with for that. And so NIL is going to be a really tough thing here. There's so many. I talked to a friend of mine who owns a car dealership in Boulder. And I said, how's the business community feel about this? He said, well, the people who are sponsoring them are happy because more eyeballs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you don't get ROI from CU football. You just don't get it. And so NIL, that's going to be really hard for these kids to get, unless Deion brings it with him.
What was your reaction? So we all saw the press conference. We saw the post. You know, a couple of days, they've been very active with, you know, putting together his staff, which I think he's had some intriguing additions to his staff. I think his OC and DC are good hires. Yeah. But what was your reaction, Mark, to the athletic director, Rick George, who, you know, admits openly, we don't have the money at a place that, you know, is struggling a little bit, and then also inserts Nebraska into the conversation, albeit they are the first game that Deion would coach at home.
Right.
What were your thoughts on the AD's Sunday?
Inserting Nebraska into the conversation has been a winner for CU for a long time. So Bill McCartney went off on the whole, no red in the building, blah, 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 don't sell your tickets to Nebraska fans. That's been a winning formula for them because that's riled up the fan base a little bit. There are still people here. Honestly, I did a poll. I was doing radio in 2001 when Nebraska ended up playing Miami in the Rose Bowl after getting beat real bad in Boulder. And both teams were playing. He was playing Oregon, and I think it was the Fiesta Bowl. And both teams had a chance to, you know, things had worked out right, to be crowned national champions. And I did a poll on my show, and I said, would you rather have CU and Nebraska both win and split the national championship? Because that's probably what would happen. AP would have probably gone with CU. Coaches went on Nebraska. Would you have them both win and split it, or would you have them both lose and somebody else get it? And the overwhelming, both lose. Could not stomach Nebraska sharing the national title with them. So that's been a winning formula, and I can understand doing that. It hasn't worked. I mean, just listen. Whoever buys the tickets, they still get the money. So by throwing that gauntlet out there, he knows it's going to get to you guys. He knows it's going to get out there. And I've seen so many tweets about challenge accepted, and I expect to see a ton of red in that stadium. But they just need a full stadium. Rick George is in a tough spot because what Mel Tucker did to him, he ended up with Carl Durrell because there really wasn't any other options in mid-February. And then COVID hit, blah, blah, blah. He has to swing for the fence. He had to do this. He needed something really huge like this. He knows it's temporary. He knows Deion's not a long-term guy here, but he needs to do this coming off a 1-11 season just to keep his program relevant.
Hey, what happens to Colorado athletics down the road? I mean, we know what the Pac-12 looks like. What do you think Colorado finds a home in 5-10 years?
Everybody's saying the Big 12. They'd go back to the Big 12 because, again, does the Pac-12 survive any of this? It's hard to say. Oregon and Washington leave for the Big 10. Pac-12 doesn't survive. I wrote a few weeks ago, I can see a Mountain West Pac-12 merger. They've already said, I guess Dan Patrick said the San Diego State's been invited. No surprise there, right? That's a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the whole Mountain West and Pac-12 kind of merging, and CU and Utah and Arizona State having a choice. Where you want to stay in that mix or you want to go towards the Big 12. And I can see CU going back to the Big 12 easily. The problem there is, well, I guess it's been a problem more with the Pac-12. The money that was promised initially out of the gate never materialized. Mm-hmm. You know, the big payoffs for the Pac-12 teams did not happen. CU had planned to bring back baseball and do all sorts of things, and they couldn't. They never got the money. They got indoor facilities that they're still paying on that was supposed to be paid off by Pac-12. Pac-12 money, it hasn't happened. So when he says he doesn't have the money, he's accurate. He doesn't have the money. He's betting on it that Deion will bring it in.
Mark, I wanted to talk about the money there for a second because, as you mentioned, the Pac-12 money never really came in, but it seems like Colorado's been in tough financial shape for a while. Do you know what are some of the things that have led to that? Because it seems kind of like an odd situation for a school that has at least a fairly decent profile nationally.
Well, I think a lot of it I touched on earlier that the Broncos usurp every bit of attention here, and that includes sponsorship dollars.
Mm, okay.
I was working, I still work with Mile High Sports, out here, and at the time when I was actually working on the magazine staff, we did a publication for Colorado called the Stampede for the Booster Club, and they called us one day and said, we want to talk about you guys taking over all our advertising sales And I thought, great, now we can package sales with the Bronco magazine. We also did Broncos Game Day magazine.
Mm-hmm.
We could package sales. Nope, we can't do that. The Broncos are our competition, they told us. This was pre-Learfield. Learfield wasn't involved then. They said, this was pre-Learfield. It was the Broncos are our competition. I said, well, why don't you, here's a gun, just shoot yourself in the head. I mean, you don't compete with the Denver Broncos in this market. And I think they've looked at it that way a little bit from a sponsorship standpoint. They get okay sponsorships, but they don't get, as my friend told me, they don't get a ton of ROI from it. This car dealer doesn't even give out. I mean, there was a period of time where he was giving coaches cars to use and was getting nothing back from that. So he stopped doing it.
Mm.
It's just reasonably sized fish in a giant pond with a lot of other fish. You've got Colorado State up the road. You've got Air Force down the road. You've got the three other professional franchises in your own market. So financially, it's tough to compete unless you're winning all the time. And you make a bad coaching decision, like Dan Hawkins was a bad decision. John Embry was a horrible decision. And you start to lose. Now the front runner money that you need isn't materializing anymore, and you just paint yourself in the corner. Plus, the rest of college football, the big parts of college football, obviously the spending spree went crazy on facilities. For a while there, they didn't have an indoor facility, which imagine out here, that's quite a handicap.
Yep, I remember that. Mark, we appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Great interacting with you, and we'll do this again.
My pleasure. Anytime.
That's Mark Knutson, a former major league pitcher. Now he's joined us on the media side out in Denver. He's not only with Mile High Sports, he's got a radio show. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark Knutson, 41.
That's Knutson with a D, if you
were
having...
Yes, not a T.
Yeah.
Yes.
He doesn't hold back. I like him.
No, if... You know, we've interacted for a while, and I've seen... You know, I mean, the people are very excited about Deion Sanders. Okay, you would if you're a 1-11 and you're just looking for something.
Well, like you said, they're desperate.
Yeah.
Right. They are desperate for any amount of excitement or hype or joy or anything. Right. So that's for that, Deion's the perfect hire. Now, can he actually deliver on those things? That's the total wild card question mark. But in terms of just like reinvigorating a fan base. Mm-hmm. There's probably not another name on the market that would have done it the same way Deion did.
Yep. And Colorado is going to openly say we're a football factory. You know how I'm looking at Colorado football under Deion?
How's that?
They're basically the IMG Academy.
Yeah.
You just come to put in your time.
Yeah.
And we're going to get you to the NFL.
You come here.
If you go to school, great. If you get a degree, great. The lower players on our roster, you're the guys that come here to get the degree.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to become the IMG Academy of college football. You put in your time, we're going to get you to the league. We are openly saying in Boulder, Colorado, we're a football factory. And before you say, oh, you can't do that, go back.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do in the late 80s, early 90s with Bill McCartney? They told everybody, we're a football factory at Colorado. There are very few programs in the country in college football that... First of all, are comfortable enough to
openly willing to say
that,
it, yeah,
and that can honestly say
and back it up.
Yeah, we're at a university where you get a degree and you got kids that got to go to school, but we're a football factory. We're open for biz,
like Bama
and that's the approach that Deion has, and they've taken it Colorado. I mean, they are the IMG Academy of college football.
It's interesting because most of the other places that do the football factory kind of branding, maybe not using those words exactly, are the biggest of the big dogs, right? Mm-hmm. It's your Alabama, it's your Georgias. I would even say Texas, although they're not as successful at it right now. But that's kind of the idea, right? Those are the schools that are competing at the really highest level that are saying like, yeah, we don't really care what happens on the school side, just stay eligible. It's we don't care if you graduate. We don't care what your grades are. We don't care what classes. Just pass 12 credits a semester so that you can get on the football field, and then we'll try and get you to the NFL. There's not a lot of schools in that mid to lower tier that are going for that, right? And so that's really interesting. It's an interesting approach. But if you're bringing Deion in as your head coach, it's kind of the approach you have to take, right? You can't go, it'd be a really hard sell for Deion to come in here and be like, student athletes, you know what I mean?
You can't dip your toes in. You just got
to
go all
Yeah, if you're going to hire Deion, you got to dive into the deep end, into the hype and into the showmanship and into whatever the mess is and just say, this is who we are now. Let's go full force.
And football is a priority, and we're going to overwhelm everything else on this campus.
You have to imagine
that's the approach.
You have to imagine they're hoping that Deion brings some money with him, though, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like that's part of this.
And I think he will.
I agree. Yeah. I do. I agree. I think that is part of the equation with Deion is the hype, the excitement, the reinvigoration brings money.
It's the sizzle. Do we get the steak?
Yeah, it's a question. We don't know. He might just be burning your burgers on the grill. We don't know. You might end up with a hockey puck.
All right. Coming up in the next hour, Scott Chandler will join us, Brandon Vogel as well, on a Wednesday edition of 1620 The Zone.